Okay, good afternoon. And topic here is when all else fails. So, if you can imagine a fellow man looking over a cliff. It has a long rope.
Here's a smaller man, I think. And he has a rope here.
That he's gonna. It's long enough to let him to the bottom, or he thinks it might be. And it's his only way down. It's only way, it's only hope. And he secures his rope and looks over the cliff again. He wonders if it's gonna be long enough to get all the way down to the bottom. So he secures his rope to a nice tree and goes to the edge of the cliff and slowly lets the rope down the side, and he watches the rope go farther and farther and farther down and lets all his rope out and looks, and he's not sure how close the rope is to the bottom. It's not to the bottom. Maybe 10 feet, 20 feet, it's kind of hard for him to tell from his high perch on the top of the cliff. Maybe 30 feet. He's going to have to try it anyway because it's his only way down. I'm not sure why, but... And at the bottom is rock, mostly. He's at the end of his rope. We'll just leave him hanging there for now. Maybe you've been in that place before with teaching. Or maybe you feel you will be in that place if it's depending on how the year looks ahead to you. And down is not a good option. Up would take too much strength, and just hanging there would eventually lead to a real letdown. So let's leave him hanging there for a bit. And we'll come back to him. Also, I have a few rope facts thrown in here to kind of a side thing. Okay, so we're going to look at a few different areas. Basically, the books like math, language, subjects, students, like as far as discipline area, and then just some practical points at the end to help us or to help you keep your head above the water. Or to make sure you have enough rope to get to the bottom. Okay, so maybe you've been in a situation where you're studying for a lesson or a subject and you got stuck and you don't know how to proceed. Or maybe you're planning to teach some subjects and you're not sure about it, or it looks downright impossible. Maybe you have algebra this year and you never had it in school or something down that line. Okay, let's just start with the subjects. First of all, maybe you're stuck with studying. You're not sure where to go next. Maybe I should just ask the question, which subject is the worst for you? Is it math, language, science? Which one of the pet peeves of studying, I guess, or takes more effort? Anybody want to say? Or maybe it's all easy.
History takes most effort for me.
History. Okay. There's no right answer here. It's just whatever's for you.
That's what I was thinking too.
History?
Science?
Science? History and science. Okay, we're going to kind of go down through. I'll start with math. That's probably one. Well, language is probably one of my bigger things. Language was not my thing in school, and. It makes a lot more sense than I ever used to, let's put it that way. So math, one of the biggest helps here, I think, for me that I've found, depending on curriculum, is a solution key. Now, there again, depending on the curriculum, especially when you get to the upper grades, when you get some of that stuff, you're not sure how they figured it out. And solution key is a great thing to do. And if your school doesn't have that, I would could nicely ask them if they could purchase one. It is well worth the money, from my opinion. And there again, it might depend on the curriculum, like I was saying. Another help in math is do a few problems before class if you think you're going to have some problems. When you're teaching the class, do a few the way the book shows. And maybe try your own way if you make sense and it's easy. And also, don't be afraid to tell the students you're stuck, too, if you get stuck. And you have to take a look at it later. I actually done that with some algebra ones, I think. I was like, I couldn't figure it out then. Just had to figure it out later. And there might have been any one or two. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I'm not sure if I ever got it. And if one of them volunteers to teach it, you can let them give it a try, if your schedule and your peace of mind permits such a thing. And that would probably be more for older students. You can Google it. Now, realistically, that's a temporary help. Remember, though, the next time you have to get to that same problem, you might not remember how to do it because you Googled it. It doesn't necessarily help you remember things. Another help is a program or an app that would help. You can enter the problem in for the math problem, and it shows exactly how to do it, gives you all the steps, you know, in case your curriculum doesn't have something like that or run into a problem that's not all explained out. And if you're in a pickle in the morning and you forgot your coffee and about everything else, it might be worth trying to ask the co-teacher to help you out. And don't be afraid to put some studying time in too, in the afternoon and evening. Don't just wing it. As if you've never flown before, you'll probably crash. Well, let's think about math. What's some things that helped you? Do you have any thoughts on that? Anything that has helped you that you thought of to make it easier?
Just that idea of doing a few on your own. I tend to get a little overconfident sometimes, especially if I've thought it before.
Yeah.
But to make sure that when you are standing in front of the class, that you're like you're supposed to.
That's a good point. I think I ran into that too. Like, oh yeah, I know how that is. Yeah, I got done that. Get up there and it's like, that's not quite what I thought it was. How do you do this? To do a few, just if you have any doubts, for sure. Any other thoughts on that? Okay, a rope back here before we go into language. Tying a knot can weaken a rope up to 60%. A weak point is created where the knot is. Okay, let's go into language. If language was never your thing, don't expect to master it in 1 year, if you're teaching older grades anyway. And if you run out of rope here, just try not to tie yourself in a knot. Like I said, it makes more sense. Language makes more sense now than it ever did before. And so I probably was teaching a few years when I was probably not much ahead of the students. Here again, you can ask a co-teacher for help sometimes if you're stuck, or an English handbook, or depending on the curriculum, like the broad staff. I've used this one even with Rebecca. I mean, I had this, and there might be some differences sometimes. You might have some disagreements on English things some degree. But if you get stuck, I can help you out at least. Study the answers, look what the answer key has, and dwell on truth. Don't just stare there on an empty page and wonder what to do next. Look at the answer key. It can give you anywhere we put our mind to. And it doesn't hurt to stretch our brains a bit. Take some time to understand the concept. Even if you don't get a full grasp of it, that's okay. I don't think most students, if any, get a full grasp of the predicate adjectives the first time they see it. And I don't think we have to either. Sometimes your rope might look short, but it might not be as short as it looks. You might have to use it all, though. Any thoughts on language, or some things that have helped you, or maybe something you struggled in?
Was flowcharts. In other words, okay, let's say we're studying verbs. Mm-hmm. Draw a box with a verb at the top, and then make a line going this way and write active verb, and make a line going the other way and write passive verb. And then you can split those into tenses or whatever. And okay. It's something that's very easy for the students to do.
Like active, passive, that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then when they're dealing with direct objects, indirect objects, and it keeps getting more complicated and so forth.
Okay, I don't think I've ever done that, but okay, thanks for the idea. Okay, another rope fact. Rope that was fossilized has been found. One was from a ship called the Mary Rose, sank in 1945 during a battle with a French fleet, and a piece of rope was found on board the ship and was preserved. This is 1545. Okay, let's go on to Bible. Bible is, here again, some of this stuff is depending how you teach the, how your school handles it. So this could vary quite a bit. It could vary quite a bit depending on your school. Close that door, please. Bible is one I mainly let the curriculum teach. That, like I said, I could even depend on your school. But one of the things for me that I had to watch out for recently anyway was a math and thought questions, especially the thought questions. Now this was, forget the curriculum, but thought questions is one I had to, that could throw me for a loop. You could get the answer key out and try to figure out what they were meaning, what the writer was meaning. Which there are thought questions. Now this is upper grade, so it made the teacher think too, at least me. So if you're at all worried about such a thing, let's save yourself some trouble, you might want to check those things out, maps, thoughts, study type questions. And sometimes too, if you have more than one in that grade or class, you can also have other students help too. Or do it together. That way you don't have to answer five different people's question on the same problem. Now, if you do that every day, that might be a little different story, but once in a while, I think it's okay. And sometimes, if you can't get it figured out, sometimes, of course, if you have the answer, that helps, but how they got to the answer, if you ask some of the students, they might already have the answer. That's okay if you don't know. They might not always catch on that you don't know. And if they do catch on, that's fine. We're humans. Anything on Bible that you have? Any thoughts on that? Okay, another rope fact. Do you ever hear of the bitter end of a rope? That's the name of it. It's quoting again. A bitter end refers to the working end of a rope that is supposed to be tied off to a bit, B-I-T-T, or how they spell it here, which is a form of fastening found on docks. So apparently it's due with down by the water somewhere. Bitter end of a rope. Okay, on to social studies or history and science. Now, here I generally let the curriculum do most of the teaching. Maybe I was a lazy teacher, but and there again, it could depend on your school how it's done. Students ask questions that are outside of the book. That's fine. I don't think you necessarily need to answer them right then, depending on your time and stuff like that. Many questions that are outside the textbook can be looked into later, and especially for a student that has lots of time, you could put that back in their lap. Let them look it up in their spare time. What's your thoughts on history and social studies or science? What is it that you, a couple of you mentioned that. Maybe it's boring, is that?
How do you teach it?
How do you teach it? That's yeah. In other words, get up to class and it's too boring just to go over the facts, so it's kind of what you're... Okay. Any thoughts on that?
One thing that makes it easier is if you get old. But I'm not really sure how. Okay. But say, you know, I remember when something like this happened. But since we can't all, you know, just fast forward our experience, reading is the best way to be able to connect something that's happening to this, or connect this to something that's happened.
Okay. Age quickly. Okay. Any other thoughts on that? One thing I think of is if history and science are kind of an issue with that, I'd probably recommend don't try to do both to your maximum ability, if you say it that way. In other words, put more effort into one for time and then go to the other, or stick with one all year, depending on your personality, maybe. I like to switch things up, maybe. Put more effort into one than the other. Now, as far as, now that doesn't maybe directly answer your question, how to do it. Any thoughts on that? Any more thoughts?
One idea that I've heard that works with operators, and I just heard experienced teachers talking about it here, that I'd like to try it some more, is to team up students and let them answer their history questions together.
Okay, let the students answer history questions together, or in groups, if you have that many students. And I don't think it necessarily has to be an entertaining thing. You are teaching facts, as a general rule. And some of that history, I didn't like history in school. I liked science, I think. But now I enjoy both, and history makes more sense probably than it used to, too. More value I see in it. And so I think some of that you're giving them information, and some of that you'll have to let their minds take it where it will go. Now, like I said before, the idea of putting more effort into one and the other, at times picking up some odd facts to throw in there, something that happened recently. I think I like doing that sometimes. That would go along with history. I'd necessarily do the history class or history time, but it'd be a way to. Maybe I get their interest up, something that happened around the world, geography type stuff, or science experiments. Okay, any other thoughts on that? One of the things I did, and here again, maybe didn't directly answer your question, but it's more how I taught it. I asked a lot of questions to do with reviews or tests and that kind of thing. Use that time for that. We're just asking questions and maybe went over some. I went more over the past of what we did than what we're gonna do. I usually left that for them. That's how I did it. Different ways to do it, obviously. There again, it could depend on your curriculum, too, and the setting. Okay, on to reading, spelling, penmanship, music. I kind of put this all together. If you're unsure on music, a song leader in the church might be able to help you out, if you can get them in there. And, or get asking questions, too, if you're not sure on some of that. And if you don't have a music class, but you're trying to teach some music, I would actually recommend getting the CLE, like some of their light units. And it just gives information that's helpful. Even though if you never use it with the students, that's fine. It gives you information that gives you an idea what to teach if you don't have a curriculum and you want to teach the music. Reading is another one to watch out for thought type questions. But here again, I think one of the things, especially maybe for older ones, is don't look necessarily for perfection in the students, but growth, a desire to do a good job. Okay, I didn't really have much on those four. Do you have any thoughts on those, like reading or spelling, penmanship, music? Thoughts or questions, or something that's helped you? I think I missed one thing. One idea, if it would be permissible anyway, for music, if you have time, or if you wanted to do it, is have someone come in for a short music class. That can be. You can sit back and relax and let somebody else do it. I actually went into school before. I taught that school too, but I went in when I wasn't teaching and did a few of those. I enjoyed going in there and doing it. So it's a nice break for the teacher too, I think. Remember, your students are still there, though. You have to make sure they behave. But. Okay, so let's go on to one other rope fact before we go on to the student behavior part. Maybe that's more what you're thinking of when you thought of this topic. I'm not sure. Or maybe it's hard to tell what they were asking for. Okay, so rope fact. Rope can be made out of metal. It's a very simple fact. Okay, the second one is student behavior. So changing from what you're teaching to whom you're teaching. Who you're teaching or whom. Okay, here's a few thoughts, and some of these will be on that handout there. A few thoughts or ideas to help you with student behavior, discipline. And a lot of this is taken from my talk last year about discerning fairly. And these aren't necessarily in priority as far as the points I have, but one, choose the best option you have at the moment. Sometimes you just have to do your best in the situation that you're in. Two, ask them what they think they should do. Not necessarily that you're waiting for them to get an answer or waiting for them to answer you, but just you're trying to get them to think. Trying to get them to think about what they did. And also gives you time to formulate a better answer if you're not sure what to do next. You don't always have to act like we know what we're doing, but sometimes if we look like we know what we're doing, that can help us and maybe the student. Three, tell them to go to another room or the classroom if out at recess. This also gives you time to think, and sometimes a talk might be in order. And four, do not use all of recess as a normal solution or a quick fix. I shouldn't say, it's not like you never would maybe, but don't normally use all of recess. That would be my thought on that. Don't consider it a normal option to fix most problems by staying in all of recess. Now, part of recess, I've done that probably quite a few times, and there might be different opinions on that. I've even used short, not so much real recently, I hadn't, but I think longer ago I did a little more. Just like, even this 1 minute thing, so this could depend a lot on the situation and your student. But just, I think it is just in short, 1 minute, 30 seconds. Just enough so they know that something they had to, there was some sort of consequence of what they did. Now, obviously, if it's something big, you probably want to be careful with that. That probably won't fix too much. But for small problems, it might be one option. Usually, you need to be out there with your students. And they need to be out there to get some exercise, at least part of the recess. Asking questions. I meant to kind of mention this earlier. Make them think through their problems. They're an older student. And sometimes at a recess, you can tell them just to sit off to the side for a bit. Sometimes that could be the solution. Sometimes that just gives you time to think of what to do next. Because you're not sure what I should do next. Seven. Normally, I think keep a punishment short. The student sits off to the side while others are playing as part of this punishment. He soon may be disrupting, causing more problems than it's worth. And you got more problems you have to deal with. My next two, I think, are probably ones that I probably recommend, probably the most valuable. Have a list of small punishments and also install some preset punishments if needed. So have a list of small punishments you can give students, not that they see the list necessarily, there's some ideas that you know what you'll do when something comes up. You necessarily have to put it, but just small things that you give, make them write the times tables. I've used that quite a bit. Gives them something worthwhile to do while they're dealing with their emotions, I guess you could say. Dictionary stuff, I haven't done much of that. That would be another option. Looking out the window, well, I don't know. Maybe depending on the situation might work, but have them stand up by the window. As far as installing some preset punishments, that's this kind of similar idea, having a list of small punishments and installing preset punishments. Those would be more like ones that they would know about, possibly. Now, if you're not dealing with any problems, I wouldn't make some preset punishments because they might cause some problems, just to see if you'll actually hold to your word. That's probably more if there is already problems and you're trying to deal with small things. Maybe make some preset. If you do that, this may happen. Watch your wording too. I ran that so many different times. Like, oh, you said this, or you said that, and like, this may happen or this may occur. may save yourself some trouble later. Number 10, realize students may be dealing with other factors not seen by you. Maybe a home situation or as I think I heard mentioned here, and that was out in the auditorium, I forget where somebody had their, was it their braces tightened or something like that, and it really caused some, and that's one of the other class meetings. His braces tightened and it caused some quite disruptive issues. So there's sometimes it could be other things we don't even realize. May not necessarily be us or other students. People change slowly. The people that we work or the students that you deal with, they change slowly generally. Now there's certain things that need to be changed now, that's true. But as far as there is some things that just take time. We can help to slowly change the problem. Don't always assume quick results. I love them as Christ loves. Think about us. We are in Christ school, and we are also students, and we have been shown love and mercy, and we should show them love and mercy. And talk to the parents and the board and maybe co-teachers, if you have them, at times as needed. Definitely can be a help. Maybe it should be one of the places you should go as bigger problems arise. Another one, I'm not sure if I have it later, if I just didn't have it in here. I have it later. I may just mention it now. If you're a younger teacher, at least I think I felt it when I was younger. And the idea that, well, let's just word it this way. They view you as older than you probably feel yourself as, if that makes sense. I'm not sure when I was. I think I was maybe 30 or I forget how old I was that one. I think I mentioned this last year. And one of my students, she would have been that time 8th or 9th grade level. And apparently she looked at me as quite old. I mean, fairly old. And so I wasn't 20 at that point, so yeah, that's something to remember. They look at you probably older than you think. Not that you're ancient necessarily, but I guess that I was a little bit ancient at that point. Not what I am now, but. Okay. Any thoughts or ideas that have helped you about discipline, behavior? Or something that you're dealing with? You don't know what to do next.
I know the teacher here last year, Eric, on the high school, the boys, and just their disruptions in the class, he used a lot of, he would make the boys do push-ups.
Okay.
Because, well, you know how a classroom is, especially in the spring, and it's nice, and they have lots of energy, so that was a, and he always made them do a few more than they were comfortable with.
Okay.
So if he knew that child was comfortable with 20, he'd make them do 25. So there was some pain in the punishment.
Okay.
But that took up some of the extra energy they had that made them disruptive too. And that's, so, I mean, and I'm not saying like writing something down as a punishment, but I'm just saying he used some of that extra energy, mm-hmm. which when they lost the energy, then they were
Yeah. Yeah, I like that idea. Probably for you over on this side. I'm not sure if I have the girls make them the boys do push-ups or not, but it might not go over so well. But
you did run into that, then. So some of the boys would just kind of bump each other and stuff in the hallway. And so after coming for recess, I told him, I said, well, the next person that does that, that, you have to go out and do 25 push-ups. And all the boys are in the classroom. Okay. The next person
okay.
The door opens and comes the girls. And so two of the boys go up and say, hey, just look, kick me. So two of the girls went to kick two of the boys. Well, then they look at the pizza and say, hey, you just said the next person did those 25 push-ups. Are you going to keep your word? Well, he just like, well, you guys, you manipulated the system, and for you telling the girls to do it, you two go do the push-up. Because he wasn't going to make the girls do the push-up before, so.
I like that idea, yeah. Push-ups for the boys. Maybe for the girls, depending on the, I think I might have some girls do push-ups. Not, they wanted to, actually. I'm not sure what the push-ups look like, but there's different styles you can do. But I stayed out of that. So their deal. I like the idea that to do push-ups. I had mostly girls when I taught. Probably a bigger percentage was girls, so I dealt with more of that. But I'd like to use that idea, though. I did use it for art, but that was more for just for an art idea. Yeah. Kind of push the limits for the deal. And I didn't push them as much as I should have, probably. But it's a good idea. Any other thoughts?
Something that just helps me tremendously is if I know in advance what's going to happen. The push-ups are that an example of that. At our house right now in California, we've got Starfish, so I don't know if you have them, but they're a mess. And if my boys push each other or purposely hurt each other, boom, you got dig 15 Starfish. They know, Dad knows, and if I'm consistent with it, all right, at first we're getting rid of quite a bit more. Right? and I'm thinking ahead to this school year, there's a word that our students started using that the parents have been talking, and we want to lead this out to help each other. And so what I'm thinking right now is we're going to know in advance what we do when that word pops out. None of them is looking personal to you. It's just
you don't have to take any energy deciding what's going to happen next. Yeah, that's one of the advantages of when you're short on energy or don't want to waste any more energy. Okay, good. One thing I did do for some of the students, I think this was some of because of discipline issues, I did too. We went around the school property, did miles, and that was when I had most of the girls, and I had a reward at the end of the school year if we got to, I think it was like 2,000 total collected miles, 2,000 if I remember the number right. I had, 8 or 9 students, I forget at that time. I helped too. I think we all had to do 200, if I remember correctly. Maybe I had 10 students. I don't remember. So I think we had to reach 200 miles to do that, each of us. And this was throughout the winter, and maybe throughout the whole year, basically. I'm not sure. No, I think I had an end date before the end of school. And some of those girls did amazing things out there. They went, depending on the school culture, maybe, but some of them went barefoot in the snow. Some of them, someone came in looking like they had went out and done some serious work. They had come back in quite dirty. And I was impressed on what they pushed themselves to. And then toward the last, when some of the students didn't have as much time to get things in, I had some of the students could give miles to the other students to help them finish up their 200 miles. Because if everybody got it, they could we'd go on a fishing thing. And so we did do that, and that was, good memories. Okay, another rope fact, which may or may not be a fact, this might depend on how you use your rope, but the average rope lifespan, this is quoting, is 5 years. It says, serious inspection should be given to line after that point. Whatever. It's probably so if you're hanging on the edge of things. You might want it for sure. I don't know. That just would not be my thing to rock climb. If you're into it, that's fine. But I'd rather hang from things that I can see the ground about 2 feet from my feet. Okay, I just messed myself up here. Okay, thirdly, sit here in 10 minutes. Some ideas and thoughts to keep our heads, or your heads, above water after the shark out of your boat when it feels like you've been abandoned at sea. Things may not be as bad as they look, but you won't get out of it without work if you're going to keep going. And there's a few of these on the outline there. Spend time with God. Should no matter if we're having problems or not having problems, but take time with God in the morning and seek to see a glimpse of God, but more than that, I think see a glimpse of His glory. I'm not sure how else to go into that farther, except a topic maybe, but a glimpse of His glory. I think some of that, it can be just in the sunset, sunrise, quiet times, something that God has done for us or for other people, something you see in nature that can, it's points to God, and it can give you strength and rest, and we can rest in God that way, rest in Him, and give Him our problems. I think it's not only a start with God idea we have here, it's more than that. I think allow God to be with us throughout the day. And for me, it was, my mind was on school stuff during the day, so it was hard for me to, yeah, I was really busy as far as thinking the other things. So it's, but I think God can be with us even if we don't, okay, God, I'm going to pray right now. I don't think we necessarily need to do that, but I think we can take God with us throughout the day, and He can be there if we have seen Him in the morning, let's say it that way. We're not there to figure out everything, and I think sometimes God's answer to our needs is the simple idea of letting God move in His time and resting in Him while we do our best. And that's also a place I'd like to go back to that fellow hanging there on the rope. And that's how we can feel sometimes. We're not sure what to do next. But remember to go back to God and His Word. When sight cannot see God, faith and trust will need to see. Otherwise, we will fall. And God will not lead us where we cannot be sustained. And God can catch us at any place if our rope is too short. God's power and comfort can take us down any cliff, even when we don't have enough rope. God says, go. Should we stop because our rope is too short? No, I don't think so. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, and He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So God's grace is sufficient, and when our rope is too short, and when we feel too tired, can't feel like going on, and when we would rather give up, when we are weak, God's grace can be enough. A snowy cliff will not stop God's help, and an icy rope won't either. Situations can't stop God's power in our lives if we are willing to spend time and avail ourselves of it. But our will can stop God. If we say no to God, we hang from a dangerous thread. But if we said yes to God, no rope that we have to go down will be too short. And no rope we may have to go up will be too thin. He'll give us the strength. Isaiah 40:31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So did the man survive? That's what you want me to draw him on the bottom. Yes, after he calmed down, he realized he had another rope in his back pocket. Don't ask me how he tied it onto it. He's awfully good with the ropes, I guess. Yeah, he got down again.
Okay. Oh, we should make sure in case any of you have bad dreams over unfinished projects.
Okay, another thought here. See the problem as soon as possible and be out at recess when possible. Watch for activity in the classroom that's out of the ordinary. Not as a spy, but as a watchman, catching things before the boat is sinking. Commend students on good behavior. I think this is one I failed to do as much as I should have. So if you can take my place in that and commend your students this year. I think it's actually a bigger tool than we realize of helping our students behave. Not just in their behavior, but also in their work, I think. It may help all around. And it'll probably help our attitude picking out good things in others. So it's something we can apply to any area of life, really. Commending others on something well done or a good point we see. Somebody helping somebody, they fell over or saying a nice word to somebody. That's the one thing I did notice when the schools taught. The students would say nice words or commendation to other students. And that's impressive. Find the danger zones. Pick your battles when possible. You don't have to conquer every subject, like history or science, or math or language, and have perfect order all day. But we need to recognize our own weaknesses and do what we can to avoid driving into a big hole that we knew was there all along anyway. Isn't that annoying? I don't know if you've ever done that before. You run into something or you bounce over something that you knew was there. You're like, oh no. I knew that was there. That was so stupid, we'd probably say. I did something recently like that. It wasn't maybe quite that extreme, but it was the one part was supposed to go on before the other part was. I forget what it was, but I was putting it together and, okay, oh no, this other part has to go on first before I put the part on that I already put on partway, at least, if not all the way. Like, okay, whatever. So you redo it. But then you do remember some of those things too, those lessons. Okay, receive help from others. I mentioned that already. Co-teachers, parents, school board. It's a very valuable asset. Parents, I think, are one you want to go to and you have the courage to. Or even if you don't have the courage to, I think we should say. Okay, and on to things that we can do more personally, study. Take time for serious study if needed. You don't have to master every subject, but you need at least to be able to present it enough to teach it. It might cost you half an hour or an hour after school, but it is your job. Along with this, to keep a balance, don't spend it hours every evening studying week after week, cramming everything every minute of studying. I don't think that's wise either. There are ditches on both sides. Taking some time, like was mentioned, try to figure out the problems beforehand, solution keys, answer keys, study them. Problems that you run in, they might run into. Math was probably one of my things that I had to watch that out a little bit when they got the upper grade, some of those problems. You thought you got it figured out, like was mentioned, and you're like, oh no, this is not. Story problems is one thing that I ran into a little bit. Like, I should have looked at that before. But live and learn. At least live, learn part takes a little longer, it seems like. And on rare occasions, I think you have the authority to skip a problem. Now, that might be debatable. Or at least temporarily skip it, come back to it. You aren't going to flunk a student to make him a failure in life because you couldn't get one or two problems. Now, this would be probably more into the algebra stuff or something that maybe you didn't have a full grasp of before and you're not sure about now. If it's predicate adjectives or predicate nominatives or verbs and nouns, you may want to ask for help. But I was thinking more, probably more the upper level stuff. Some of those problems may be okay to come back to later and rarely probably skip it, but you should probably generally find the answer because that'll give a good the teacher's also working, digging in. Think, research, resources, and the last point has relax. Take time to think. I'll just quickly go over some of these here. Take time to sit and think. Life doesn't come in nice packages, generally. Don't always rush on and leave thinking behind, or your capabilities of thinking behind, but to think. And then research, resources, and relax. Sometimes we've got to dig a little deeper, do your own research. Add on to a few subjects maybe once in a while, but if you're overloaded, I think maybe stick to the basics. You want to cut your own rope. Resources, I have a few up here. This one is handy. It's from discipline to, it's the whole nine yards basically, I'm not sure. I would recommend this one. Like I mentioned, these are handy for when the teacher or the student doesn't know what to do next. Another idea is like posters, wall things that you can look at or the students can look at to help you out. Also writing things on the board. I did it with algebra, so I'm like I would put up whatever. Not something that's simple, but more complicated stuff. But like I could look at it and say, okay, that's what that means. I had students referring to it too. Like, okay, that's what that's supposed to mean. That's, I mean, I didn't have to go get the answer key out and try to find out where it was. Really saves time. Even like predicate adjectives, predicate nominatives too. I can say it was saves time. To read instead of digging out the ideas. And the last point, relax. You can't do everything, but what you can do, do with the best of your abilities. If you're one that knows you need to dig in a little more, dig in, research, study, and then relax. Looking back, you will see how school has been good for you. Take time for your students, but also take time to clear your thoughts and minds, not only for your good, but also for the students and others involved. And may God bless you with wisdom and discernment this school year.